This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, November 2nd. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up as Halloween week ends, our legal issues in the news commentator, Amy Guida, tells us that ghosts usually don't exist. Also got a weekend forecast from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, today's news. They've not been able to do it all year, but Illinois' governor says he and the leaders of the legislature are ready to come together and will resolve everything from mass transit funding to gambling expansion in the next week or so. Amanda Vinicky reports.
The Chicago Transit Authority says fares will go up and bus and train routes will be cut on Monday, unless the state comes up with money to bail out the system before then. Legislators haven't been able to agree on how to come up with that money. Plus, many downstate lawmakers say they're tired of coming to Chicago's rescue by funding projects like redesigning Soldier Field and renovating O'Hare Airport, while roads, bridges, and other needs in their areas have been ignored. Governor Rob Blagojevich says the two issues are linked. He says in the next 7 to 10 days, he and the four heads of the General Assembly will work together and get both done, as well as agreeing on gambling expansion that's supposed to pay for it all.
Why not merge the two together, build the coalitions to get the votes, to pass a long-term solution for the transit issues in the Chicagoland area and infrastructure challenges for downstate Illinois as well?
Blagojevich says he'll announce a plan today that will give Chicago Mass Transit millions of dollars so it does not have to shut down services next week. But leaders of the system say they won't accept it. And the Speaker of the House says he's withholding judgment until he gets details. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
The U.S. Supreme Court has asked the government to file by Monday a response to former Illinois Governor George Ryan's request for bond. Ryan wants to remain free while he challenges his conviction on corruption charges. His lawyers have taken his fading hopes to the court, asking Justice John Paul Stevens to keep Ryan out of prison while he asks the full court to step in. Stevens is the justice who handles such matters originating in the Chicago-based Seventh Circuit. Ryan is scheduled to report to prison in Minnesota on Wednesday. The 73-year-old former governor has been free on bond since he was convicted in 2006 of steering state contracts to friends, using tax dollars to run his campaigns, and covering up driver's license bribery. A softening economy continues to be evident in a monthly measure of the state of the economy in Illinois. The University of Illinois economist who authors the Flash Index says the state continues to grow economically, but not at as fast a pace as last winter or last spring. Fred Gertz believes the state does not look primed for a serious downturn, even with the housing market suffering from higher mortgages and stingier credit.
The rest of the financial markets seem to be relatively sound, and the rest of the real markets, manufacturing, that sort of thing, is still very strong. And one reason is because of the low value of the dollar and the fact that we're exporting a lot right now. So right now, it's been confined to this basic housing sector area, and there's no particular sign that's going to go beyond there, but there's no guarantee it won't.
Gertz also says the housing downturn and the slump in the auto industry are affecting other states more seriously than Illinois. The Flash Index measures tax receipts to give analysts a first glance at Illinois' economic health that fell for a fourth straight month in October. Democrats on the Champaign County Board appear united on a proposal to set up an advisory board for the county nursing home. The proposal could come up at the county board's Justice Committee meeting this coming Monday. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
The advisory board would provide expert advice to Champaign County Nursing Home Management and the county board. County Board Democrats endorsed the idea at a special caucus meeting last night. The advisory board is less than what Nursing Home Administrator Andrew Buffenbarger is asking for. He wants an actual operating board appointed by the county board to set nursing home policy. Some County Board Democrats like that idea, but others are leery, including Vice Chairman Tom Betts. He says an advisory board could serve as a trial run.
We'll see how it works. It may work in a fashion that everyone is happy with and satisfied. We don't need a change. It may have flaws that need amendment. It may turn out that we need a board that has more binding power. But we don't know that until we jump in the water.
County Board Democrats want to hold off consideration of Buffenbarger's second proposal, the hiring of a management consulting firm to help with day-to-day nursing home operations. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
An Iraq war veteran has pleaded guilty to stealing body armor, night vision equipment, and other gear while serving in the Illinois National Guard. 36-year-old Christopher Henkel of Decatur told a judge in Urbana that he stole more than $70,000 in equipment. He pleaded guilty to a single count of theft of government property. His public defender and prosecutors negotiated a sentence that includes 18 months in prison, 3 years of supervised release, a $44,000 fine, and $16,000 in restitution. A federal judge still needs to approve that sentence. Local emergency personnel say the chance of a major oil spill in Champaign-Urbana isn't very likely, but more than 20 of them spent their morning on Thursday preparing for such an event. AM580's Jeff Bossert has more on the exercise.
This is our spill trailer, and we have all the stuff necessary to deal with spills and leaks on here. And this over here has, like, we have our suits and our boots.
Champaign Fire Captain John Barker shows off just a couple of the vehicles involved in the drill near the U of I's Assembly Hall. It's the base of operations for Champaign, Urbana, and Savoy firemen, Champaign County's Emergency Management Agency, an environmental contractor, as well as the university, which is conducting the drill. The group is looking at their ability to handle an oil spill in local bodies of water. Keith Erickson is with the U of I's Office of Facilities Planning and Programs. He says while some kind of exercise is required annually by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, the spill drills must be done every 3 years.
Today we're programmed for several hundred thousand gallons of oil spill is the drill. Of course, there's no oil spilling. We assembled this drill by putting some environmentally safe dye in the storm sewers early this morning so that we could discover that as flow. And it's flowing in two directions, to the Boneyard Basin and to the Embraugh Basin.
Erickson says conducting this exercise proves the agencies have the resources, technical capability, and communications with other first responders to handle such an event. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. We're wrapping up Halloween week, and commentator Amy Guida brings good news for those who might be freaked out this time of year. Ghosts don't exist. Well, they usually don't exist. Here's this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
Here's a legal principle you've probably heard from the time you were a child. There's no such thing as ghosts. The paranormal? It's all the product of an overactive imagination. Witches? They're our friendly Wiccan neighbors, not the cackling, wart-nosed, vengeful variety from Oz. It's a legal principle because judges usually don't buy the whole ghost, goblin, and devil thing. Maybe it's because they remember the same gentle no-ghost assurances from their elders, or maybe it's because their dockets are as chock-full as one of those plastic orange pumpkins some kids carry around on Halloween night. Whatever the reason, bring a ghost tale into a courtroom, and it's more likely than not you'll get booed. Just ask a poor fellow from Texas, in immigration custody at the time he filed his lawsuit. All he asked for was a little help from the local federal court, because a ghost, one he described as the reincarnated Jezebel Princess of Evil, began paying him visits in his holding cell, and oddly enough, also when he was in the shower. This particular ghost, he reported, had more in mind than simple hauntings. It also forced him to, brace yourself, read weird and spooky books and listen to paranormal radio programs. I sense that your blood is going way cold right about now. But remember our powerful legal mantra. There's no such thing as ghosts. With that in mind, you can figure out what the court wrote about that poor tormented soul's complaint. The kindest words used? Fanciful and fantastic. The fellow's complaint about the ghost with the substandard media fixation did not go far. And so it goes for those who, like the imprisoned spooky tale reader, claim to be visited by demons, devils, and other creatures not found in a natural history museum. If a ghost plays a role in, say, will making or a child custody arrangement, the court will usually not look favorably upon the one who sees the things that others don't. The devil made you do it? That's usually not going to fly either. There's no such thing as ghosts, and that has the full power of the law behind it. Okay, except for the ghost in New York that haunted a certain house, one that some scared buyer purchased without knowing of the house's pre-sale occupancy rate. There, the judges ruled that the seller had to stick with her story that her house was haunted. She couldn't change her mind and claim that the poltergeists didn't exist once the house was under contract with a buyer who didn't want it anymore. As the court put it, as a matter of law, the house is haunted. But rest easy tonight. Just remember the long-standing and usually sound legal principle and think like a level-headed, learned person in black robes, the one who doesn't fly on a broom. Sounds like all the ghosts live in New York anyway. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. We've got a nice and seasonably cool weekend in front of us. Sunshine today for most of the two-state area, according to our meteorologist, Ed Keezer. In northern and west central Illinois, there'll be some sun in the morning and partly sunny skies in the afternoon. Highs from 56 in northeast Illinois to 64 in west central and southwest Illinois, up to 60 in Champaign-Urbana. Clear to partly cloudy tonight. Some frost in east central Illinois forming. Lows around 30 in some rural locations to 36 in some city centers. And for tomorrow, sunshine again across the two states, highs from 52 north to 62 south. Champaign-Urbana's high tomorrow, 56. Partly cloudy Saturday night and a low of 34. Sunny and 62 on Sunday, and it'll be breezy as well. Intervals of clouds and sun by Monday, turning colder with a midday high of 57 and temperatures falling during the afternoon. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, November 2nd. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.